Today we're going to be looking at, are you thirsty? And so if you'll stand with me, we're going to read together John chapter 7, starting in verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures had said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is a prophet." Others said, "He's the Messiah." Still others said, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Father, today, help us not to be divided because of Jesus. Help us to be fully committed to Jesus Christ as our Messiah, Savior, God. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever been extremely thirsty? And I'm not talking about you went out and cut the lawn on a hot day and you're really thirsty for a drink of water. I'm talking about, have you ever really been really thirsty? You spent a week in the desert. Your tongue is splitting because of the thirst. That's real thirst. So when we're really thirsty, we have to peel our lips off our teeth. That's when you really know you're thirsty. Stories told of a young Marine. He was a corporal named Joey Mora. In 1996, he was standing on a platform in an aircraft carrier patrolling the Iranian Sea. Incredibly, he fell overboard, and he wasn't even noticed that he was absent for 36 hours. And suddenly, when they did a check of who was on, they found this man was missing. A search and rescue mission began, but after 24 hours, they canceled it. They said nobody can stay alive on the ocean that long. Well, the rest of the story, after his parents were told that he had passed, at least the best they understood, he was dead, the rest of the story is truer than science fiction. Because four Pakistani fishermen found Mora about 72 hours after he had fallen off the ship. He was treading water in his sleep. He had, according to the Navy, taken his trousers, and this is part of the safety training when you're in the Navy, he had taken his trousers, tied them in loops so that they would hold air, and he was resting on top of those trousers, treading water. He was delirious, and they pulled him out of the ocean in the fishing boat, and his tongue was dry and actually cracked, and his throat was parched. 2 years later, he went and spoke with Stone Phillips of NBC Dateline, and he recounted the unbelievable things that had happened. Mora said it was God who kept him struggling to survive. Joey said the one thought that took over his body and pounded his brain was water. Can you imagine being in an ocean filled with water and needing a drink, and you can't drink the water in the ocean? That was his predicament. Let me ask, have you ever been that thirsty? You're surrounded by a source, but you can't get to the source of quenching your thirst. I'm talking about a spiritual thirst now. All around us, today we have so many opportunities that people long ago did not have. For graduation, for Eric, I bought him and his sister both a study Bible. We have study Bibles everywhere. There's 10 or 12 different study Bibles, really good ones. You can go and buy any place. You can go on your computer and you can learn how to study the Bible in a very effective manner. It's everywhere, and yet people are thirsting after righteousness. They can't seem to get it together. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, our Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Yet today, with all the food and the living water all around us, the Bibles we have, good churches, if you went just Saginaw County, how many good churches do you think you would find in Saginaw County? And I'm not just saying Baptist. I'm saying Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian. There's a lot of different good churches. How many do you think you'd find in Saginaw County? I'll guarantee it's in the high hundreds. It's amazing how many good churches there are, and yet people just can't seem to get their thirst quenched. We're talking about a Pepsi culture with the opportunity, and people keep going as if they're in the desert. Well, folks, it doesn't have to be that way. You get to choose to drink from the water that will never run dry. In fact, that water that Jesus is offering you will overflow in you like a spring of water, and you'll be able to water those around you. And we're going to talk about more of that in just a minute. But I want to share with you a couple of interesting facts about physical thirst. We all get thirsty. The other day, I was out cutting the lawn, and I got pretty thirsty. I was ready for a drink. When thirst starts, it starts in the pituitary gland, and the pituitary gland secretes two hormones. The one hormone goes to the kidneys, and it causes more than complicated activity to the hypothalamus. That sends signals to the salivary glands to stop sending out the juice because there's no juice to back it up. And so all at once, you discover that you're extremely, extremely thirsty. Physical thirst can be excruciating and it can be dangerous. If you don't get water, you can have a lot of serious complications. But what about spiritual thirst? How do we quench it and how do we keep it quenched? A young student years ago in a Bible college went to his teacher and he said, "Teacher, how can I get my thirst quenched to know the Lord?" So the teacher said, "Young man, come with me." And they went out to a nearby stream, and the instructor said, "Young man, go under the water." So the young man, obedient, thought, "Well, where is this going?" But he went under the water, and the instructor came over, put his hand on the young man's head, and held him under the water. He held him there for a minute or two, and the young man's thrashing and trying to get out, and he comes out and, gotta get air. And the teacher said, "Young man, when you begin to thirst for God like you thirsted for air, you'll find God. And you'll find your need for air quenched." 2,600 years ago, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you'll call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Let me ask you, you're here for worship this morning, I hope, not just going through the routine, but how thirsty are you today? Are you thirsty to the point where when you sing the hymns, you're looking, what has this person learned? This is a hymn that maybe for 100 to 150, almost 200 years, the church has been singing. What's in there that could help my thirst? When you hear the scriptures, are you thinking to yourself, this is the very word of God. What can I find to help my thirst? Folks, it's so important we understand that a longing for water is over and over and over in the Bible compared to a longing for God. In Psalm 42, verse 1, it says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" When can you do that? Folks, you can do that in church, but you can do that at home too. You can do that right on your job. I used to hunger and thirst for God, and on the assembly line at Plant 2 Saginaw Steering Gear, I was meeting with God as I was doing my job. If you're really thirsty for God, you'll find him everywhere you go. And in Psalm 143, verse 6, I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. John 7, verse 37, Jesus is giving us a message here. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. And he's talking about a spiritual thirst. When you get thirsty, if you come to the Lord, he'll supply and take care of your thirst. We in America love holidays. I think you'd probably agree with me that the four major holidays we have in our country that we all really enjoy are Easter, we have July 4th, we have Thanksgiving, and we have Christmas. Those are our major holidays. Israel also was a people who enjoyed holidays. They had three primary ones. Now, they had several different holidays, but three were the primary. There was the Feast of Passover, there was the Feast of Pentecost, and there was the Feast of Tabernacles. When Jesus says, come to me, you that are thirsty, and drink, he's at the Feast of Tabernacles. In John chapter 7, verse 1, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. But while the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, leave Galilee and go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you're doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. The Feast of Tabernacles, believe it or not, was like Christmas and Thanksgiving and the 4th of July all rolled into one. It was a huge time that the people came together. During that feast, the high priest would take a golden pitcher. He'd go down to the pool of Siloam. He'd dip that pitcher and fill it with the water. And he'd come back to the altar of sacrifice, and he would pour that water on the altar. And as he poured that water on the altar, the people all would cry out, according to the words of Isaiah 12:3. This is what they would all shout every festival of tabernacles. With joy you'll draw water from the wells of salvation. And as they shouted that particular day, that's when Jesus said, John 7:37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink. What do you suppose that did at the temple when Jesus said that? Folks, that had to make quite a statement. Jesus is saying, I am the one that can supply and will supply all your thirst for God. You can come to me. In Jeremiah 2:13, my people, and he's talking about the Jewish people, the very people that Jesus said this to, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water. And so Jesus is saying he's the spring of living water. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug out their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. What's the difference between a spring and a cistern? A spring has fresh water that flows from the middle of the earth. It just keeps flowing. It never stops. It's fresh all the time. What about a cistern? A cistern is a hole that somebody's dug and built a little cement enclosure, and the water goes into the cistern. It gets hot. It gets kind of yucky tasting. And then Jesus said the cistern that the Jewish people have made is a broken cistern. It can't hold water. Jesus is saying instead of all this religious stuff, all the keeping of rules, all the stuff that people are telling you to do, stop worrying about that and come to him and you'll have springs of living water flowing through you. If you have springs of living water flowing through you, what does that do? That gives life to all those around you. They can come to you and drink. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, those that know the Lord are like a tree of life. People can come to you and pick the fruit because the fruit of the Spirit is in your life. They can see it in you, and that will give them a godly thirst. We're going to talk more about that too. Jesus wants the people to know that he is the source. We look at that and say, wait a minute. Jesus is just a man, right? No, he's not just a man. Jesus Christ is our creator God. He made us. Even in your mother's womb, individually. The Bible tells us that God is overseeing you even as you're being formed in your mother's womb. God is intimately concerned about everything about your life. So the people of Israel, during Jesus' lifetime, they're trying to support and supply their thirst by religious ritual. They're going through the motions of doing all the dots and all the tittles of the law, but they none of them, almost none, I won't say none, because a few did have a living relationship with God. But most of the people had religion. Religion will not quench your thirst. You have to understand, only a personal relationship with Jesus Christ will ever supply your thirst. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Again, in John 7:37, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink." So to gain true spiritual, to supply true spiritual thirst, we must first seek God's water. The condition, if anyone thirsts. Now I praise the Lord, even before I got saved, God gave me a thirst for him. I didn't know how to supply it because I thought, going to church, being a good person, getting baptized, all that would supply and take care of my thirst. But unfortunately, it never did. I always felt something was missing. So specifically addressed, here Jesus is saying, if anyone thirsts, if you're thirsting for a relationship with God today, do you know that Jesus gave you that thirst? There are many people that have no concern whatsoever about a relationship with God. They don't care to know him. They don't want to know nothing about him. They want to run their own life. But if you're a little bit of a strange person, and in your heart you really want to know God, and you really want to please God, that's a gift from God given to you. You may not know him yet. You may not be doing what he wants yet, but you've got the thirst, and praise the Lord for that. In Psalm 42, verse 1 again, it says that the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? When? Whenever you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ through faith. In Psalm 63:1, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. We need to get to that point before we get our thirst quenched. In Psalm 143, verse 6, I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. We'll never know the Lord until we get the thirst. And the thirst is a gift of God to those that want to know him. So do you have a spiritual thirst today? You know, it'd be nice if we could be salt. And a lot of people aren't very thirsty for God. But whether you know it or not, you can be the salt that salts their oats. You can't make a horse drink. You can take him to the trough, but you can't make him drink. But if you salt his oats, guess what he'll do? He'll drink. You are the salt. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're the salt in the life of your family, your co-workers, your friends, that will give them a hunger and a thirst for God. In Matthew 5:13, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord would bring people to Himself because you helped make them thirsty? When they saw your love, which is actually Christ's love, when they saw your joy in the midst of heart sorrow, and they could say, "Why does that person have that joy? They're in worse shape than I am, and yet they're rejoicing, and I'm not." That gives thirst. You can be light. When you have the Lord Jesus Christ in you, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But He also said, "You are the light of the world." In Matthew 5, verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." As they see the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and this is so important because Jesus is talking about when you receive the Spirit, that's the streams of living water that flow in you and fill you and begin to overflow from you. The fruit of the Spirit is very precious. This is what's going to attract people that you know to the Lord. In Galatians 5:22, He tells us what that fruit of the Spirit is. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Your life and my life, if we claim to be Christians, if we claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit, ought to be different than others. The Bible talks about having joy right in the midst of sorrow. The Bible talks about having peace in the midst of turmoil all around us. We look at this world today, and I'm telling you, people are scared. If I lived in a big city, I think I might be scared myself right now. It's crazy what's going on. But you can have the joy of the Lord no matter the situation. People are going to look at you and say, "Aren't you concerned?" Yes, I'm concerned and I'm praying and I'm resting in the Lord. I don't have to carry the burdens of the world. Isn't your husband, your wife sick and very ill? Yes, they are. I'm doing all I can do to help, but I'm not going to fret about this thing. God is in control. Folks, people are attracted to that. They wonder, where does that come from? And then you get the blessed privilege of telling them where it came from. It came from my Lord. He's living in me. He's living through me. He's overflowing. And I pray that it touches your life too. In Matthew 5, verse 6 again, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." To quench a spiritual thirst, we must draw from God's well of water. There is no other source. In John 7:37, again, Jesus said, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink." There's a story in the Bible that Jesus referred to himself as a well of water. And it's found in John chapter 4, verse 1. "Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Joseph, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would give you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." Folks, there's coming a time when you can quench your thirst for spiritual things one time for all time. And that time is now. Jesus Christ has died for us so that we can be continually overflowing with the Spirit of God, continually not only refreshed ourselves, but refreshing all those around us. Once we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in. Every born-again believer, the Holy Spirit lives in you. He longs to fill you with himself to overflowing, so that you can touch other lives for his glory too, and they can do exactly the same thing. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Jesus Christ is the only source of living water. You must come to him. In John 4:13, still talking to the Samaritan woman, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." You know, I wish sometimes we could call people back that have lived before us to see what they learned from experience, because so many people, even many Christians that I know, are trying to find their hope and their joy in the things of this world. Solomon was a man who saw the Lord twice face to face. I mean, talking right face to face. But Solomon began to chase the things of this world. And Solomon learned a lesson the hard way. When I teach children's church, and I haven't done it in a while now, being a pastor, but when I taught children's church, I always told the kids there's two ways you can learn. You can learn the easy way from somebody else's mistakes, or you can learn the hard way from your own mistakes. So I pray today that you learn from Solomon that chasing the things of this world is never going to bring you the joy and the peace and the hope you want. Chasing Jesus Christ will. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon says, "I said to myself, 'Come now, I'll test you with pleasure to find out what's good.' But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I brought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me, and all this my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward of all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done, And what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Folks, when Solomon wrote this, he's writing as a man under the S-U-N instead of a man under the S-O-N. He's left God. He's left God as the source of his joy. He's left God as the source of everything that could bring him pleasure. And he's chasing this world. And the sad thing is, I see many Christians today making exactly the same mistake. Folks, when you have a relationship, a living relationship with Jesus Christ, you have everything you need for life and for godliness. You don't need to chase other things anymore. You can enjoy all things. The Lord told us he's given us all things richly to enjoy. Enjoy life. But don't set your heart on things. And don't set your heart on people that they're going to be the source of your joy in life. Keep your heart set on Christ. Then everything else falls in its proper relationship and everything works beautifully. In his old age, Solomon came back to his senses and he wrote in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. Having that reverential awe for God, living close to God, that's when you can really enjoy this life and you can look forward to the life that's coming. When you focus on the things of this life, I got to have that new car, I got to have that big house, I got to have this or that, or I can't be happy. Folks, if you have a living relationship with the Lord himself, you can be happy no matter what's going on. I have a friend that is a missionary to Haiti, and Haiti is the poorest nation in the entire Western Hemisphere. Crime is so bad in Haiti that the leaders of the crime gangs literally run that country. People are afraid for their lives. But my friend told me you'll never find a happier people than the people of Haiti that know the Lord. And that's the difference. The people of Haiti that know the Lord are happy people. The people of Haiti that don't know the Lord are not happy people. It's a miserable place to live. To gain spiritual thirst, we need to make a decision to gain and maintain that thirst. So I want you to imagine you've been in a desert for several days. You've gone totally without water for those 7 days. You're almost delirious. Your lips are parched. Your skin is cracked. And the heat is just pouring down on you. Now I want you to ask you a silly question. You're walking in the desert and you see a stream. It's a pretty good sized stream. The water's clear and it's cold. What are you going to do? Folks, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd jump right in the middle of that stream and I'd be drinking all the water I could drink. I'd be getting cooled down by that cool water. I'd be getting my thirst quenched. Jesus Christ is that stream. We live in a desert. Folks, this world is full of death and misery and sorrow. Yes, there's some joy in the midst of it too. But we are surrounded by pain and sorrow. And it's all because of sin. One of these days, we're going to a place, those that have received Christ, where that's all going to be done away with. The former order of things is going to be done. But until that time, we live in a world of sorrow and hardships and pain. Jesus says to us in the midst of all that, and he said to his own people, in John 7:37 again, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Folks, if you're here today, and you have personally received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is in you, but he wants to flow through you. Folks, it's sad for me to see people that know the Lord that are full of anger and bitterness, and they don't enjoy life. It shouldn't be that way. You should be overflowing with joy. You should be overflowing with hope. The Bible tells us the God of hope fills us with hope so that we can bring hope to others. We shouldn't be those that need the hope. We've got the hope. It's right in us. I want to encourage you. Let the Lord flow through you. God will lead you to the trough, but he won't make you keep drinking. But he'll certainly supply all you need if you want it. We need to stay thirsty. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to quench us and to fill us and to overflow us. I heard a story one time of a foreigner who came to America, and he was in one of the big cities, and he went over to a drinking fountain. And he looked for the button to push to get the water to come out. And he looked, and he couldn't see any button. And so he was just about to leave the fountain frustrated. And a man came up to him and said, "Sir, right at the bottom, you'll see a little sign there. It says, lean over and drink." So the man leaned over, and I saw him, and the water just started coming. It's the same for us. If you're thirsty for anything in your life, lean into Jesus. He is the source. He'll fill you to overflowing. It's so important we understand this, because if you're tired of living in a spiritual malaise where you just don't have the joy of the Lord, you don't have the peace in your heart, you don't have a vision of what's coming, just lean into the Lord. He longs to fill you, and not just to fill you up, but to fill you up to overflowing. Folks, we don't have to force a witness. The witness should just flow from us. We're so filled with the Lord, we just overflow and we tell people. One of the ways you can tell, Lord, am I full of the Spirit? Is it overflowing from you? Is it so full of you that you just can't stop talking about the Lord? That's what he wants. He wants to fill you with so much joy that you can't help telling your children and your grandchildren. You may drive them crazy sometimes, but it's because they don't know him yet. Keep telling them. Keep letting them know how much joy you have. The witness of a Christian who really loves the Lord, who's filled with the Spirit, who has love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Folks, you can't help affecting others. They'll be coming to you. Grandma, how come you have such peace? Grandpa's been gone for 10 years now. You still have joy. How do you do it? Oh, honey, I just trust the Lord. He constantly fills me with his joy. It's not Grandma's joy you're seeing. It's the joy of the Lord. Grandma, how can I get that? Folks, I don't know about you, but that's what I love to hear. When my children, when they were young, they would come to us. I think I led both boys to the Lord, and I think Mimi led both girls to the Lord. How can we know? What an honor it is as a parent or a grandparent to be able to tell that next generation, honey, all you need to do is come to Jesus Christ. He'll fill you with himself. You'll be able to help your friends at school. You'll be able to be that spring of living water. Folks, it's there. The Bible warns us about receiving the grace of the Lord in vain. I don't know if you know it or not, but you can receive the grace of the Lord. He's given you all you need, but you don't take it. You don't keep taking it in. That's vain. But when you receive the grace of the Lord and you use it for his glory, guess what? There's more coming, and there's more coming. The Bible says if you will be faithful in little, God will make you ruler over much. And so, again, I want to read John 7, verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink." That's the promise in the New Testament. But you know, it's not just a New Testament thing. It's an Old Testament thing too. in Isaiah 55, verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what's not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what's good. You'll delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Folks, the invitation's out. Those who are wise are going to come to the water. Jesus says he is the living water. In Isaiah 58, verse 11, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. We can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll find all that we need so that we can overflow and help others find all that they need. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful, Lord, we don't have to go through this life thirsty and trying to find the meaning. Lord, we have found the meaning. That meaning is wrapped up in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us that thirst and that hunger, not only to know him, but to help others to know him as well. And Father, we'll give you the praise now in Jesus' holy name. Amen.